The singers for leading us in a great time of worship. Thank you so much. And I personally want to thank Douglas. Doug, and I'm sure I'm speaking for all the singers. Doug this morning said, man, I had a great time with God this morning. Had a great time with God this morning. And I really feel that personally, you can't lead someone in a relationship with God if you're not there. And I really appreciate, it's obvious just how, you know, his leadership really is because of his fellowship, his following God. And I pray that we can all come to worship service ready to worship, having already spent time with God. And so this time is a celebration of what we've already achieved, what we've already experienced. And I love this that song because it is a journey, a reckless love of God. I mean, God is continually pursuing us, and he never stops. And it's a journey because we're up and down, we're emotional, we're humans. And it's very challenging for us, but I think I'll speak for him, probably challenging for God. Because when we leave and come back, and I think God gives us parenthood to understand. We're talking about the journey of following God, and we'll hit on several C words, as I said earlier. Celebration, chaos, communion, convey, conviction, conceit. And the journey of following Christ, I believe, exposes my heart and yours. The journey exposes our hearts, and we shouldn't be afraid of having our hearts exposed. Some days are better than others. Some seasons are better than others. But we know that God has a reckless love, and he'll rescue us where we are, even in the tough times. And so the journey of following Christ exposes, I believe, how close we want to be with God. It exposes our hearts, but exposes how close we want to be in our relationship with God. The journey, I believe, exposes where a person desires Jesus' influence in their lives and where they don't. Where they don't. It exposes where I want Jesus to be in my life in areas that I don't, that I want to take hold of myself and be self-sufficient. The level of your desire of his influence will be the level of your closeness, the closeness in which you will follow. So you desire deeply to follow Jesus, you'll get there. You'll get there. If you don't, you'll get as far as you desire. You'll get as far as you desire. And I know sometimes I can focus on what's going around me and blame those things. But at the end of the day, it comes down to how close do I want to be? No matter what happens around me, no matter what the storms are, in the eye of the storm, there my desire determines my closeness. You know, one can be far from Jesus' influence. We can be God's creation and still be far from his influence. Not interested and even desiring to be around Jesus. Now, this person can still come to church, still read their Bibles, still talk about God, but at the end of the day, the desire, they're still far from God. Still far from God. You can be in the same home as your spouse and be far from them. You can be in the same bed and be far from them. It's the same in our relationship with God. You can be around his people and be far from him. We understand, right? Also, one can follow at a distance. Now, at a distance is a little closer than far away. You can be a little closer, but you can be following at a distance, having a desire to be around Jesus, but really struggling with him influencing all areas of your life. Again, we want him to influence some areas, but other areas we're like, keep away. I got it. I got it. In those journeys, in that time of the journey, or those seasons, he is Lord of some, but not Lord of what? All. And some people will say, if he's not Lord of all, he's not Lord at all. I think we can get an amen on that. That's what we believe, right? If he's not Lord of all, he's not really Lord at all. And sometimes, even as Christians, we can fire him from the job and lay him off and say, I got this. I'm taking over again. I'm not only in the driver's seat, I'm in the car ahead of you. Also, one can follow closely. Now, think of Mary. Most of us have had our Mary moments where we are not distracted by all the preparations, not distracted by the drama, the chaos, not distracted by our emotions, but we're focused on the presence of Jesus in our lives, all the nooks and crannies of our lives. We're close to him. And that's where I believe we want to be, amen? I believe that's where most of us want to stay. But it's a journey. It's difficult. And it takes daily deciding to follow Jesus. So this morning, think about this. How closely do you want to follow? Ask yourself that question. How closely do you want to follow Jesus? I suspect none of us want to be far away. I suspect all of us probably want to be very close. But ask yourself the question and be honest. Let God direct you to the answer. How closely do you want to follow Jesus? We've been talking about follow him since the beginning. We know what that is conceptually. But in reality, how close do you want to follow? Let's look at some of this journey beginning in Mark chapter 14. We'll read a passage, and that will be our journey passage, Mark chapter 14. And I want to give you the first C word, and that word is celebration. Celebration. Mark chapter 14. The celebration of the journey. And every journey, there's times that we celebrate, amen? Times that we just say, yes, this is awesome, amazing, big conferences, victories in our lives, and we celebrate this journey. And it's a wonderful time. Start with me in verse 12, and we'll read 12 through 16. On the first day of the unleavened bread, when they sacrifice the Passover lamb, his disciples asked him, "Where do you want us to go to prepare for the Passover so that you may eat it?" So he sent two of his disciples and told them, "Go into the city. A man carrying a water jug will meet you. Follow him. Wherever he enters, tell the owner of the house, 'The teacher says, where is the guest room for me to eat the Passover with my disciples?' He will show you a large room upstairs, furnished and ready. Make the preparations for us there." So the disciples went out, entered the city, and found it just as he told them, and they prepared the Passover. I mean, I don't want us to skip over that. I mean, the Lord telling you exactly what you're going to get beforehand, and you go and that's what he said. He is the Lord. This is a confirmation, celebrating the sovereignty and the power of God. And they're getting ready for the unleavened bread celebration or festival. Does anybody know what this celebration is all about? The unleavened bread feast and celebration. Anybody know? Yeah. Okay, they were in a hurry. Okay, make the unleavened bread. Okay, anybody else? Anyone add to that? Thank you. Anybody? Yeah, Dan. There's a lot to it. Anybody want to add to that? They're like, no. The unleavened bread, celebrating the Passover, their journey in the wilderness, very deep celebration, 30 days they ate. And it was a tremendous symbolism, the unleavened bread. They ate it for 30 days, and then after those 30 days, manna fell from the sky. God supplied. The unleavened part is pretty interesting. It symbolizes that they were not taking with them any of the contaminating influences from Egypt. Not taking with them on the journey any contaminating influences of Egypt. The unleavened bread is eating the pure bread, the Word of God. The pure bread, the Word of God. This is the fun part of the journey. What a time to be able to celebrate this. They had a wonderful time celebrating with Jesus. I can imagine what they talked about. Think about all the times they probably celebrated life with Jesus prior to this. Think about it. Can you name a time where they probably celebrated life with Jesus? Could you name some times where the disciples were so just elated to be following Jesus, to be with Jesus, they were just celebrating in their hearts and minds? Could you name some times? Yes. When he raised Lazarus. Woo. I mean, could you imagine celebrating the power of God? And you're going, and he can't change my life, and he raised one from the dead? Your confidence, your celebration, your gratitude for the power of God and being in that presence. Amazing. Yes. Woo! Could you imagine the celebration that would have happened if when Michael came, Jesus said, "Woo! Boy, he controls wind." Fed the crowds. I mean, multiply this. And some of you are going to put out your wallets and going, multiply it, God, please. Be a miracle. Multiply that bank account. I need three figures. I don't need seven. I need three, you know. So multiplication, the power of God. Wow. I mean, celebrating that. Man, look what Jesus did. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, celebrating his unconditional love. They had never seen a priest, a rabbi, or the false teachers or the teachers love so intensely. And you're going, man, I celebrate the way he empathizes. He goes after the lowly and considers them equal. Amazing celebration. One more. Yes, Mary. Yeah. You ever celebrate God's influence in your life and how through your life you can influence others? And you just sit back and go, wow. Like, I have had an eternal impact on this soul. You know, there are many celebrations. You know, Greg is the one I told you a thousand times, reached out to me, studied the Bible with me. My dad says when he hits the lotto, the first thing he's going to do is buy Greg a car, any car he wants. He says, I'm going to buy him whatever he wants, you know, because he celebrates how through God, his influence in my life changed my life. Because my dad was talking to Fred Gaines way before he even came to church. What am I going to do with this boy? The pain of parenting. Celebration. Second word, chaos. You know how it is. Bless you. You know how it is. After every celebration, then you go, oh, what's going to happen? How long is this party going to last? I'll give it 3 days, and then all chaos is coming. Well, it came. It came. Verse 17, when evening came, he arrived with the 12 while they were reclining and eating. They just having dinner. Jesus said, I assure you, one of you will betray me. One who is eating with me. They began to be distressed and say to him, one by one, surely not I. He said to them, it is one of the 12. The one who is dipping bread with me in a bowl, for the Son of Man will go just as it is written about him. But woe to that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It would have been better for him, for that man, if he had not been born. Now, this is a downer. This is celebration gone wrong, right? Chaos. The word chaos means disorder. The word chaos means confusion. There was confusion setting in. What would be so confusing here? What would be so out of order in this scenario? What? What would be so confusing? What would be chaotic? Yes. Yeah. I mean, who would do so? Who would disown the Lord? We've celebrated so many wonderful. Who would go against God? Yeah, disorder, chaos. What else? What's so chaotic here? What's so much in disorder and confusion? Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, it's kind of causing maybe a little rumbling between the 12. Who is it? But the first thing they said was, is it I? they were like, is it me, Lord? I mean, something that they didn't know. Am I at a distance? Am I far away? I thought I was with you. Was it me? Am I going to disown you? Is my heart that bad? And then maybe they're looking at each other going, I wonder who it is. Who is it? You know, you did get up grouchy the other morning. I mean, you know, yeah. 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 Trust was broken. Yeah. Yep. Yeah. They don't know who the mole is. Jesus knew. Absolutely. Absolutely. One more. That's right. That's right. Yeah. You know, I remember playing ball, and when one person messed up, the whole team had to run, you know, to the airport and back, you know, and maybe they were thinking that, you know. Do you think they suspected Judas? What do you think? Think they suspected him? Why not? Okay, maybe say he's the banker, he's the CPA, so yeah, well, of course we're going to trust him, right? Okay, yeah. Wow, didn't treat him any different. Why would they suspect Judas, right? He washed his feet too, okay? Somebody else a hand up? Yes. Huh? You know, it's puzzling, but I know this. I don't read about Judas asking to be at God's right hand like some of the other ones. Now, some of he's arrogant. They're arrogant. Of course, their mother came to try to promote them. So, you know, they're not good. They're the ones who betrayed Jesus. I'm sure that they're going to betray him because they wanted to sit right next to him. I'd have thought, yeah, it's them. It's those brothers over there. Or maybe they thought, you know, Judas, maybe they didn't suspect Judas because he didn't ask idle questions. Maybe because he wasn't a boaster like Peter. Maybe he was just kind of quiet, in the cut, unassuming, taking care of the money. In fact, none of the disciples suspected him of hypocrisy. They never said, Lord, is it Judas? Never did. Very chaotic time of disorder and confusion. Talking about confusion, Judas made a glaring profession. He had attached himself to the disciples, intimate followers of Jesus, and had become a member of the purest church that ever was formed upon this earth, and yet was far from following Jesus. You can be in a mega church, you can be in a household church, you can be in the best church, the purest church, and still be far from Jesus. And that's a time of chaos. Time of chaos. In this journey, celebrations can quickly turn into chaos that reveal the true hearts of those who are following. The third C, communion. Communion. Verse 22. As they were eating, he took bread, blessed and broke it, gave it to them, and said, take it, this is my body. Then he took a cup, and after giving thanks, he gave it to them, so they all drank from it. He said to them, this is my blood that establishes the covenant. It is shed for many. I assure you, I will no longer drink of the fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it in the new way in the kingdom of God. After singing psalms, they went out to the Mount of Olives. Communion. After a chaotic time, leave it up to the Lord to know how to refocus them. How does he do it? How does Jesus, after a chaotic moment, refocuses them? Verse 22, as they were eating, he took the bread, broke it, blessed it, gave it to them and said, take it, this is my body. Whenever you enter a chaotic time, you must refocus on him. Why do you think our foundation is follow him? Transformed by him, join him. Because if you don't put him in it, you're going to follow something else. If you don't put him in it, you're going to be transformed, changed by something else. If you don't put him in the mission, you're going to have your own mission, not his. And that may be doing good things, but is it really the mission of Jesus? Communion, the sharing and exchanging of intimate thoughts, intimate feelings, such as fellowship, kinship, closeness, harmony, understanding, rapport, connection, empathy, accord, and unity. All of that happens when we commune together, We're saying we're going out as a body because of the body. That's communion. And communion should change us, mold us, connect us to one another and to God and his purpose. Communion. Boy, do we need communion after a chaotic time. I need it. We need communion. I need communion all the time. There's no time I don't need communion. Can I get an amen on that? I hope you're feeling the same thing. I hope you're feeling the same thing. The fifth C word in this journey is a word called convey. 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 Verse 27. Then Jesus said to them all, if all of you will run away, because it is written, I will strike the shepherd and the sheep will be scattered. But after I have been resurrected, I will go ahead of you to Galilee. Convey, to make known, it brings something out. It brings something out. Peter told him, verse 29, even if one runs away, I will certainly not. I assure you, Jesus said to him, today, this very night, before the rooster crows twice, you will disown me three times. But he kept insisting, if I have to die with you, I will never deny you. And they all said the same thing. What is Jesus conveying here? And what is Peter conveying? What are they trying to make known? What are they bringing out here? What is Jesus bringing out? Verses 27 and 28. What is he bringing out? What is he conveying? Yes. They missed the warning. Trying to convey that, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Sinful nature revealing it. Yes, Heather. That's right. Still hope, conveying, I'm still with you. I'll be there in the end. Let's begin with that end in mind. Yeah, Bill. Yeah. Yeah. That's right. Yeah, I sometimes don't like people to see my blind spots. But deep inside, I'm grateful. But on the surface, I get offended, and I don't want people to see my blind spots. But boy, when they see them and they tell them to me, and I go, amen, there's a certain freedom. He's trying to convey something to them. You're going to have some blind spots in this journey. You think the heart is deceitful above all things and beyond cure. Who can understand it? Well, Jesus says, I can. And so he's conveying this message. Now, secondly, what is Peter conveying in his response? Peter told him, even if everyone runs away, I will certainly not. But he kept on insisting after Jesus said, man, you're going to deny me three times before the rooster crows. And he emphatically, he says, I will not. I will never deny you. And they all said the same. I mean, he was a leader. They're like, yeah, that's right. Never. What is Peter conveying? He has more confidence in what he feels than what Jesus is telling them. Yeah, we can park on that for a while, like about a year. Yeah. Yeah, pride. You know, now I can feel this way. I can feel, that used to be me. But it's not me now. And then my wife goes, yeah, it's still you, baby. It's still you. It's that sinful nature. It's still you. It is? Yeah. Dog. You know, because somehow we think we could be better and should be better. But without Jesus, you can't. I can't. You can't. Yeah, Gene. Yep. 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 Yeah. You know, that was his history. You know, you just Google, you know, go online and do your little history. And just pull up your history. And be confident that that's who you are. And don't be afraid to go, that's my history. I like, what do we want to do sometimes? We want to erase history. That's our history, and that's God telling us, you need me every day. Yes. He wants to be in control. Now, I agree. Even if I will certainly not, you ever find yourself saying that? I'm never going to. Not me. No. And then you hear that rooster crow. And you go, golly, I fell again. Yes, Martha. Yeah. Yep, that's right. That's right. You know, I think it's a sincere conveying of his convictions. But he's saying it without a understanding of just listening to God, what God says. Now let me ask you a question. When we hear that rooster crow, when we hear that moment when we're conveying something, we go, oh, blew it. When we do something we thought we would never do, what should we avoid doing? When we do something, you go, did again. What should we avoid doing? Yeah. Hiding it. Being embarrassed by it. Yeah. What else? Going down, I'll never be. I'm just, woe is me. I did it again. I'm not worthy. Well, you never were. We never were worthy. So why do we go, I'm not worthy? I never were. Right? Yes. Making excuses for it. See, the devil made me do it. My wife, my husband, my kids, my neighbor, that doggone coworker made me do it. Yeah, Heather. Yep. Whew. Yep. I love that. Just, I want to give up. Can you imagine Peter? He was in the purest church that ever existed with God in the flesh and leading the charge, I will never. And that rooster crowing must have, there wasn't Bose system around at the time, but I'm sure it was like Bose system then. Oh, my gosh. And then he goes, man, he could have gone, you know what? I'm so embarrassed. It's all downhill from here. But he didn't. He didn't. One more. Yep. Ignoring it. Some of us, we just ignore it. We go, so what? I'm deceived. I'm not going to even worry about that. The rooster crows, but still, I'm still loved by God. And we don't deal. Now, what should we do when we hear the rooster crow? What should we do? Yes. Yep. 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 Yeah. Hmm. Yep. 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 Yeah. That's right. Allowing it to bring you to humility and conviction to where you just fall on your knees and say and surrender and say, I can't. And we all know what it means to like squat, but not quite get on the knees, have good attempts and kind of go, but you're not quite there. But boy, it feels so good when we hear it and we go, I need God, and we just surrender, surrender. Yes. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. That's right. Yep. Responding quickly. Yeah. Yep. You know, and for me, I never wanted to be in trouble. So I tried to find a way to fix it before I got in trouble. And so I had to learn how to just confess quickly. Say I'm sorry. Say I'm sorry. I don't have to fix it or figure out why. Just quickly say I'm sorry. Jesus knew Peter, and the celebration to humiliation was the reality. He knew Simon Peter. And in Matthew 16, before this event, in verse 13, when Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked the disciples, who do people say the Son of Man is? And they said, some say John the Baptist, other Elijah, other Jeremiah, one of the prophets. But you, he asked them, who do you say I am? Simon Peter answered, you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. And Jesus responded, Simon, son of Jonah, you are blessed because flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but my Father in heaven. And I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the forces of Hades will not overcome it. I will give you the keys to the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth is already bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth is already loosed in heaven. Amazing time. Jesus here changes his name from Simon to Peter. Changes his name from Simon to Peter. Simon, his birth name. Peter, his rebirth name. As disciples, we will have those Peter moments where we respond to life with God's Spirit and we function in our new name. Then we'll also have those Simon moments in our lives where we revert to the old self and we have the old thoughts. We have the old feelings, the old responses, followed by the old consequences. And that's probably when we hear those roosters crow. The great thing about Jesus is that he doesn't ask for the keys back, does he? He doesn't go, Peter, can you give me the keys? Come, come, come. All right, somebody else who wants it, you know, who's worthy? He doesn't ask for one back. He says to us, like he said to Peter, Simon, Simon, look out. Satan has asked to sift you like wheat, but I've prayed for you that your faith may not fail. And you, when you have turned back, strengthen your brothers. See, that's the greatest comeback of all. But that's the journey that we're talking about. That's this crazy love of God that keeps on pursuing. I believe Jesus is saying to us, when you step out and convey something, you don't necessarily cash in or make your faith, make known your faith, and it leads to frustration that doesn't match your doctrine. He's saying regroup, reorganize, reorder, reprioritize, repent, and begin to follow me again. That's the journey. That's the journey. The sixth C word in this journey is conviction. It's conviction. In verse 32 of Mark 14, then he came to a place named Gethsemane, and he told his disciples, sit here while I pray. He took Peter and James and John with him. He began to be deeply distressed and horrified. Then he said to them, my soul is swallowed up in sorrow to the point of death. Remain here and stay awake. Then he went a little farther, fell to the ground, and began to pray, if it is possible, the hour might pass from him. And he said, Abba, Father, all things are possible for you. Take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but you, what you will. Then he came and found them sleeping. Simon, are you still sleeping? He asked Peter, could you stay awake 1 hour? Stay awake and pray that you won't enter into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Once again, he went away and prayed, saying the same thing. And he came again and found them sleeping because they could not keep their eyes open. They did not know what to say to him. Then he came a third time and said to them, are you still sleeping and resting? Enough! The time has come. Look, the hour. Look, the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let's go! My betrayer is near. Conviction. A firmly held belief. A firmly held opinion. Conviction. What can we learn here about the convictions of Christ? Oh, there's many. They didn't change when he was distressed and horrified. Have you ever felt distressed and horrified? We can learn from Jesus. His convictions didn't change. He was afraid, and his convictions didn't change. Others abandoned him, and his convictions didn't change. The convictions didn't come at once. He had to pray one time. He had to pray a second time. And he had to pray a third time. Then they came. He was ready to go and face his betrayers. Our convictions will be tested daily. Our strong opinions, strong beliefs will be tested throughout every day. Peter's were. In verse 37 and 38, then he came to them and found them sleeping. Simon, that old name, are you sleeping? Couldn't you stay awake for 1 hour? Stay awake and pray that you will not enter temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. I wonder what that name change is all about. You're being Simon again. You're in your flesh again. Convictions. Last C word, conceit. Conceit. Verse 43. While he was still speaking, Judas, one of the 12, suddenly arrived. With him was a mob with swords and clubs from the chief priests and scribes and elders, his betrayer, giving them a signal. "The one I kiss," he said, "he's the one. Arrest him. Take him away under guard." So when he came, he went right up to him and said, "Rabbi," and kissed him. Then he took a hold of him and arrested him, and one of those who stood by drew his sword, struck the high priest's slave, and cut off his ear. But Jesus said to them, "Have you come out with swords and clubs as though I were a criminal to capture me? Every day I was among you teaching in the temple complex, and you did not arrest me, but the scriptures must be fulfilled." Conceit, excessive pride in oneself, self-admiration, self-regard, self-sufficiency. Other than himself, who and what could have captured Peter's focus? This mob coming, Judas in the mob, one of their own. What could he have been focused on? Well, Judas, how dare he, right? The mob, how could they? After he had been with them and taught them and loved them, how could they? The swords and the clubs. Right? Oh, you want violence? Oh, you want to go? You want to square off? Okay. All right. Sometimes that's our focus. We go back to Simon. We go back to "vengeance is mine," says me. Religious folks. All these religious folks out here pretending. And they're not even receiving the Messiah. I'm angry at them. Or the crucifixion. Could have been focused on that. He knows what's going to happen. If Jesus dies, well, they're next. This is when it's difficult to capture the words of God. But the scriptures must be fulfilled. The scriptures must be fulfilled. To fulfill means to complete, to fill, to individual capacity. It must be fulfilled. Being a follower means that we will, like Jesus, by our best ability, be a fulfiller of Scripture. A fulfiller of Scripture. Being a follower of Christ means that we strive to allow the Word to dwell in us so that it can be seen outside of us. The love of God. Peter, because of his conceit, could only hear his words and his thoughts. That's all he could see. That's all he could hear. That's all he could see. All he could perceive. This conceit comes in during many parts of our journeys. So how is your journey with Christ coming today? How is it coming? He's making his laps, isn't he? How's your journey today? How close do you want to be right now? How close do you want to be? Following Jesus is about striving to stay close during all parts of the journey. The great celebrations, we want to be close. The rough times of chaos, we desire to be close. The wonderful times of communion, the embarrassing times of conveying something without the convictions to back it up. The times when we struggle to regain convictions we let slip away. The revealing, conceited moments when we discover that we not just are in the driver's seat, but of course we're way ahead. The experience of the cross, where we realize again that because of fill in the blank, we've deserted him again. That's that crazy love of God that keeps on coming back. This last C word, I'm going to sneak it in, and we're done. It's called Christianity. That's Christianity. That's what it's all about. Following Jesus, deserting him, coming back, having him forgive, and you're following with Jesus, how close are you? Are you far away this morning? Are you just far away? You're just coming to church, maybe because your parents come, or you're coming to church because that's your routine, but really deep down inside, you're far away from his influence. Is that where you are this morning? Are you following at a distance, just close enough to be inspired but not really follow and become like? Are you following closely like Mary? All the stuff that's going around, you prioritize it. God, my spouse, my children, my job. You just have that divine order in order. You know that. This morning, we're going to have an altar call, and that's really to sum up our entire series of Follow Me. And we're going to have a time where if you desire prayers of the staff to go before God, to intercede before God for you so that you can grow and repair any damage or whatever you want us to pray for, we want to pray for your following of Jesus. Because this is our foundation statement. Following him is a part of it. Now, it's not about where you used to be. It's not even about where you want to be. It's where are you today, right now, in your fellowship, Jesus. If you're far away, we want to pray for you. If you're at a distance, we want to pray for you. Whatever you think. One thing we know about this journey is that we're not alone in the struggle. We have one another to help us to see those blind spots and encourage us daily. Let's pray. And I encourage you, we're going to have a couple couples come forward and just take your name. They'll give it to our staff, and we'll pray for you. And let's continue to follow Jesus together. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you so much for this opportunity to refocus, to reorganize, to repent, to come into your arms again. You never leave us. And Father, we're thankful of that. Father, we pray as a body that we will strive and help one another with our blind spots. And Father, we all are sinful and we all know that we don't deserve you. But Father, we thank you for this family. And we pray that we can do life together as we journey with you. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.